Jim, you wouldn't have to look far to find a friend of Busty Blake, would you?
No, I just could add my condolences to what you said there. I think that it's a time to think about Kitty and the family and the extended Blake family, indeed, and all his friends, because he had a lot of them. Talk about friends, I think that the one word that would describe Busty Blake, the fingerprints or the fingertips, is he was one of nature's finest gentlemen, as well as being an excellent footballer.
I know, and people reach for words always when somebody dies, but in this case, I know you'll say it's so fitting, and everywhere I've looked and every person I've listened to has had the same type of words for this man. So you need to tell, for people who didn't know Busty Blake, tell us about Busty.
Well, I suppose I first got to know Busty way back when I was a young boy, I suppose, even though we weren't that far apart, I suppose, in age, but having said that, Busty, I would have known him when he was playing in the summer cups, as it was, way back in the 50s and 60s in Donegal and in Northern Ireland. And my father, who was managing Rathmullen Celtic, which was really a Donegal select team of North Donegal, any opportunity he got, he always had Busty Blake and Liam, indeed, playing on the Rathmullen Celtic team. So that's when I would first have got to know him. Later on, I travelled with him to Derry when he was playing for Derry City. I travelled in with him to training. I wasn't playing for Derry City. I was playing for a second or third string in there as a young boy again. So basically, I would have known Busty way back for 50, 60 years. And as I said, I suppose the one thing about him is I never saw the man angry in my life. He was a nature's gentleman. I played as a footballer. He had very, very few equals. He was playing at right back in the main at the end. He was playing for Derry City. He played for Sligo Rovers. He played for the League of Ireland, which was quite an achievement to be capped for the League of Ireland in the 60s. I can assure you from the north of Donegal. And he got all those honours simply because he deserved them, because he was an exceptional footballer. Again, it's fair to say that he came in the latter stages of his career to Finn Harps as a member of the squad. He was a member of the Finn Harps squad that toured America in 1972. He also was a member of the squad that played in the FAI Cup final in 1974. And it turned out then that he managed Finn Harps when Finn Harps played Everton. I think it was the UEFA Cup again in the 70s. So basically, that was is my knowledge of Busty all those years. And, you know, he simply had few equals as a footballer. A lot of people who would have played with him would have said the same thing. He'd be the first name in any team sheet. And again, it's sad that he has passed. But again, as I say, it's a sad time for Kitty and the family, Sean.
Indeed it is, Jim. So you've just outlined a pretty colourful career there, Jim. I mean, in those days, we didn't have the big wages that are around today for professional footballers. I suppose the opportunities weren't there like they are today. It makes you question just where he could have gone with his talents, Jim.
Well, his talents certainly, I'm sure, in those days, basically, I'm sure that his first love was Letterkenny Rovers, his beloved Letterkenny Rovers. Again, a very important team in those days in the Summer Cups. And then he graduated from there to Derry and played for Sligo Rovers and Finn Harps. So again, he had a talent that definitely, had he wished to do it and had he got the opportunity, he would have been, let's say, equal to any of those people who were playing cross-channel at that particular time. But there were very, very few people, going cross-channel at that particular time. And I don't know, did he ever get any opportunity of travelling there? But in those days, I suppose, you know, going to Dublin was like going to America. So basically, he may have, I don't know, but you usually kept your roots with the wear and just you plied your trade with your local club, Sean.
And Jim, talk to us about the man himself. I mean, you've talked about his career there. You say a real gentleman, and you never heard him angry. I mean, you can't say that of too many people, can you?
Well, you certainly can't say it of too many. I suppose we all lose our temper now and again, but he was very, very placid. And I can remember, let's say in particular, a trip to America where he was very close to Jerry Murray and myself, who roomed together. And I think he probably roomed with us as well at occasions. So he was just a gentleman, and nobody could use any other word to describe him. He was very level-headed. He was even-mannered. If he had something to say to you when he was the manager, he said it in a nice way. He encouraged you. And he was just an exceptional man. That's the thing I would say about him, Sean. An exceptional man, an exceptional footballer, but also an exceptional human being.
And indeed, the style of play that he had, Jim, how would you describe it?
Well, I suppose there's one word you'll use to describe his play, and that was cultured. He was playing right back in the main, and he did his job very effectively and efficiently and quietly. And very few people who came up against him, I can assure you, got the better of him. He also played at centre-back on occasions. But he would be the first, in his day, when Busty was in his heyday, he'd be the first name in any team sheet. It's as simple as that.
You know, sometimes the footballer is different off the field than on. I mean, they can be very calm, gentle, sort of composed person off the field. And then when they get on, you obviously see a very different nature, a different type of person. Is that the way he was?
Well, that's a very true statement you're after making. A lot of us would have been a bit different when we were playing on the pitch than we would be off it. But he was still even-tempered, even on the pitch. He got on with his job effectively and efficiently. But I can assure you he was no soft touch, and anybody who came up against him certainly would have known that. But he was cultured in a lot of ways at his football and with his trade. And he was just simply, he was exceptional. That's the word I would use.
It's a great tribute, and indeed we pass on our deepest condolences to his wife, Katie, and daughters, Brenda and Karen, and sons, Gary and Tony, and the grandchildren, the wider family circle. And he was predeceased by his brother, Harry, and sister, Annie, but we wish, obviously, them peace at this time, a difficult time for them. And Mr. Blake is being waked at his home at Creve in Letterkenny today and Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and funeral masses on Saturday at 1:30. Sure to be a very big attendance at that at St. Union's Cathedral in Letterkenny. A real townie, I imagine. Jim, you'd agree with that too?
I would, yes. I have no doubt that, as you said there, I would again extend my sympathy, pity, and the family and the extended family, because, let's say, they certainly will be grieving in no uncertain terms after losing a husband and a father and a brother, etc. So I have no doubt that, let's say, he will be yet a fitting tribute over the next few days, and if any person deserves it, him.
Thanks, Jim, for joining us today.
Thank you, sure.
A difficult day for you. Jim Sheridan there joining us to talk about his great friend, Eunan Busty Blake, who's gone to his rest.